All right, tonight's topic, we're going to talk about giving food to somebody who may not make a bracha when you give them the food. It's a topic that probably we don't, you know, I get a lot of shailas about potentially bringing someone non-kosher food, someone that has a summer internship, and the boss says, can you go get me something when you're going out for lunch? Can you pick up some, just got a shayla last week, someone was asked by his boss, can you go get some sushi for me? If you don't mind, I'd like the crab sushi, and if they don't have any of that, then get me salmon. So the guy wasn't sure what to do. Should he maybe just get the salmon even though they do have crab? Is that stealing the boss's money? You know, these kinds of questions. The boss is Jewish, obviously. If he's non-Jew, then it's a non-issue. But, you know, these kinds of questions come up, and people always think in terms of kashrus. Am I allowed to provide him with something that's not kosher? But there may be a more basic problem over here. Shulchan Aruch and Simukov Samach Tesiv Beis writes, Lo yiton lechol ela lemisha yodea bo sheyavarech. You're not allowed to give food to somebody unless you know that he's going to say a bracha. Because if you give food to somebody who's not going to say a bracha, that is a violation of lifnei iver lo sitei mishal. Now this seems very problematic in a lot of circumstances that we may find ourselves where we want to do kiruv, or we're having people who are not religious at our house, or we're in a professional environment, and you know we're just getting someone. You know, I have a talmidim now that it's all about the summer internship, and the summer internship. You know, for all the talk about you know the things that they can write on their resume. You know, after the summer internship, they're getting coffee. You know, so like, are they allowed to do that for a Jewish boss who is certainly not going to say a bracha, and they're certainly not in a position to say, well, I'll get you the coffee, but only if you bless God. You know, they're not going to put on their Avram Avinu hat and start, you know, working that way. So I came across in the Sefer Maimor Mordechai, or Chaim Simkuf Zamachtes, Mordechai Eliyahu writes that, that Ein Nizar Nizharim Bekach. We're just not makbid about this. But that's not really like, I mean, you're dealing with Lufnei Iver. This is potentially in the Siddur Reisa. So you just say, oh, ain't this her? Hashem Yichaper? No, we need some strong svaras if we're going to be makel at all. So let's, what we're going to do is we'll start with the basis in Shas and Poskim for this Isser, and then discuss various etzos that different poskim have to avoid the Isser, and then discuss heterim, when it's actually mutter to give to someone who's not going to say a bracha, and then maybe even if we have time, discuss more broadly, are you allowed to own a restaurant? Your business is to give food to all sorts of people, and you're not going to turn away anyone who doesn't look like they say brachos. So you're allowed to sell food, you're allowed to own vending machines that sell food, or things like this, where you're constantly providing food to all different kinds of people, including those who do not recite brachos. So let's start with the Gemara. The Gemara is in Maseches Chulin, Daf Kuf Zayin Beis, and does not talk about giving food to someone who does not say a bracha. What the Gemara talks about, Tanu Rabbanan, Lo Yitein Adam Prusa L'Shamish, if a waiter has not washed his hands, has not done Netilas Yadayim, you're not allowed to put food in his mouth. So this is not talking about bracha, this is talking about Netilas Yadayim, and it seems to be about a waiter, and it's about putting the food directly in his mouth. But so there are all these details, but we're not so sure which of these details are necessary for the halacha and which are just happen to be mentioned but are not necessarily intrinsic to the halacha. Meaning, is it really, it's only by a waiter, it's not by anybody else? Is it only for Netilas Yadayim, not for bracha? Is it only when you put it directly in the fellow's mouth, you know, not when you give it to him in his hand? Not clear from the Gemara itself. The Gemara just says that case. That's all the Gemara gives us. Now, the Rabbeinu Yonah writes that I should mention, we mentioned before that it may be lifnei iver da'oraisa. That's an interesting possibility because obviously what are you being machshil the fellow in? Being machshil him in not reciting a bracha rishona. Reciting a bracha rishona is a din midrabanan, according to almost everybody, right? It's a din midrabanan, not a din midaraisa. The Gemara has a discussion how we know in Maseches Brachos how we know that a person is obligated to say a bracha. At the end of the day, svaruhu that it's asalanus mel mazeh below bracha. Sometimes the svar is a mechayev on a daraisa level, but over here we assume that it's a mechayev only on a drabanan level. All the poskim assume that it's drabanan. So if I'm going to cause someone to do an iser drabanan am I in violation of Lifnei Iver Da'oraisa? So that happens to be a broader topic about the nature of Lifnei Iver. You know, is it that the Chakira they say in the Achronim is it that when he does the Avera, I am a partner in his Avera, so I get a portion of his Avera, in which case my Avera can't be any worse than his. If he's only doing a Drabanan, I'm just a partner in his Avera, I'm also only doing a Drabanan. Or do we say, no, it's a separate Isser of being machshil another Jew. Machshil him might mean that I'm giving him bad business advice. It might mean that I'm causing him to do an Isser, da'oraisa or drabanan. But I'm being machshil somebody else. And therefore, even though he may be only doing an Isser drabanan, I'm doing a da'oraisa. There are many nafkaminas in this. The obvious nafkamina is the one we just said. Do you violate lifnei iver da'oraisa when you machshil someone in an Isser drabanan? Or what if a person is not a bar chiyuva in a particular avera? Is it possible for him to violate? I'm not a kohen. If I cause a kohen to go into a cemetery, is it possible that I have violated lifnei iver? So if it's about me getting a chelek in the avera, well, I can't get a chelek in an avera that I'm not mitzuva in. But if it's about being machshil him and causing him to do something wrong, then sure I could violate lifnei iver da'oraisa. Or nafkamina, a person is machshil some to violate avodah zara. So someone holds a gun to my head and says, and I say, oh, gun to head, I learned about this in yeshiva. You want me to bow down to an idol, right? And he says, no, I'm going to change it up on you. I want you to cause someone else to bow down to an idol. I want you to do lifnei iver of avodah zarah. So does it become Yahar Gal Yavar in that case? Is lifnei iver of avodah zarah like a chelik of avodah zarah? Further machlokas achronim. What if I try my best to be machshil guy in Isser, and I keep feeding him Isser, and I keep trying it, and he doesn't go for the bait? He ends up not doing the avera. Did I violate lifnei iver? If it's that I'm getting a chelik of his avera, then there's got to be an avera that I'm getting a chelik of. Otherwise, there's no iser. But if it's just in the attempt to be machshil, so it could be Pnei Yeshua says you don't violate lifnei iver in such a case, and the Yad Malachi holds that you do violate lifnei iver in such a case. The Tosas Masechas Avodah Zarah and Daf Chav Beis holds that there is an iser of lifnei iver even on something that's only midrabanan. It brings a raya from the Gemara over there by Malachan Chalamoed, where the Gemara says typically mishum lifnei iver when you cause someone to Malachan Chalamoed. The Isser Malachan Chalamoed may only be an Isser Drabanan. Okay, big discussion. What exactly the nature of the Isser of Malachan Chalamoed? But if the Gemara is saying explicitly it's Lifnei Iver to cause someone to do Malachan Chalamoed, how could there be any discussion what Malachan Chalamoed is? So Tosfos says, even though you're causing him to do an Isser Drabanan, you violate Lifnei Iver Da'oraisa. Okay, so that's just a bigger topic and a different discussion, not our topic for now. Back to our topic. Good, so the Gemara says you're not allowed to stick a piece of food into the mouth of the waiter if the waiter hasn't done Netilas Sidaim. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, Yesh Lemaidin, some learn from this Gemara that you shouldn't give food to somebody who's not going to say a bracha. The Lashon Rabbeinu Yonah is Ein Ra'ui Laseis. Not Asur Laseis, but it's Ein Ra'ui to give food to someone who's not going to say a bracha. So the Isser in the Gemara is about Netilas Yadayim, but Rabbeinu Yonah makes the logical extension to a bracha as well. Tzitz Eliezer points out, maybe we could be medayik that Rabbeinu Yonah is saying it's not exactly the same. Maybe by Netilas Yadayim it's Asur, but when it comes to bracha, in Ra'ui. It's not exactly, why would there be a difference between sticking food in a guy's mouth when he hasn't washed Netilas Yadayim versus giving food to someone who is likely not going to say a bracha? What would be the chiluk? So when I'm sticking food in the guy's mouth and he hasn't washed, so right now he's doing the Isser. I'm doing the Isser kimat for him. When I give a person food and I don't think he's going to say a bracha when he eats this food. You know, I pack him a pekala for lunch and I give him I don't think he's going to say a bracha. Okay, but that's not right then and there. I'm not doing the Isser for him. So it could be, it could also be the whole thing is only by a shamish. Rashi writes on Nakamara that by the waiter, that since he's tarud b'shimush hamasubin, and he forgets, he's not going to want, that's why he's not going to wash his hand, because he's so busy with his work. So it sounds like it was a chashash, but someone who's not so busy, you can give him and rely. You can assume that everything's going to be okay, and that he'll say a bracha. But Rabbeinu Yonah points out that he doesn't really see a difference, and you have to use your head. You have to figure out, is he or isn't he going to say bracha? It sounds like there's machlokas Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonah. What if you can't tell? You know, sometimes you could size a person up very well. Sometimes not so easy. You can't exactly tell, you know, how religious the person is. What if you can't tell? Do you give up? Are you allowed to give food? Meaning, it seems that everyone would agree, Rabbeinu Yonah and Rashi, if you know the guy doesn't know how to say a bracha, that you should not be allowed to give him the food. If you know that he's a religious Jew, davens three times a day, whatever, you know, learns everything. So okay, comes to a shir on Tuesday nights or whatever. You know, so then of course you can give him food. In the stomach, he's saying a bracha. But if you can't size him up exactly, you're not sure. It seems that this might be a machlokas between Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonah. What's interesting, the Mishnah Berurah quotes Shitas Rashi, which is Lekula, and then it says, "Oh, and Yesh Machmirin like Rabbeinu Yonah, that if you can't size him up, then you can't give to him." But in Shulchan Aruch, the Lashon of Shulchan Aruch is Lo Yitan Lechol Ela L'mi Sheyodea Bo Sheyavarech, that you have to know Bevadai that he's going to be Mevarech, meaning L'chumra. So while the Mishnah Berurah says Lekula like Rashi, "Oh, and Yesh Misha Machmir," the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch sounds like it's not just a Yesh Mi, it sounds like the Shulchan Aruch is really being Machmir, that you have to know for sure that he's going to be Mevarech. Obviously, there's no knowing for sure, and the Bir Halacha points out, if he looks like a religious Jew, he's Shomer Torah Mitzvos, that's for sure enough. You don't need to know more for sure than that. One could also argue that the whole case in the Gemara was only when you put the food directly in his mouth, but if you put it in his hand, then it's only grama, and that would be mutter. However, the Torah in Kuf Samach Tes writes, Aser litain lo prusa. Different than the Gemara. The Gemara says to put the prusa l'toch piv. The Torah says aser liten lo. You can't give it to him. Sounds like even giving it in his hand, even if you're not putting it in his mouth, it's aser. And the Marsha says he has a diuk in the Gemara that it has to be even if you put it in his hand, not if you put it in his mouth. Beis Yosef agrees with this as well. So that's why and the Lashon and the Rush, lo yitein adam prusa l'shamesh elam ken yodeh b'shnot al yadav, lo yitein lechol is the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch. It means not to give it to him in his hand. It seems that the issue of putting it in his mouth is lav davka. Great, so now we have created for ourselves a giant problem, right? If this is a halacha, that you're not allowed to give someone food if he's not going to say a bracha, how do we handle all sorts of situations in our professional lives, in our kiruv lives, in any number of family lives sometimes? How do we handle all sorts of different situations? So I found three basic etzos that the poskim offer, and how to deal with it. We'll see how viable those etzos are, some of them for some situations, not for others, and then we'll discuss what potential heter might be. As far as etzos are concerned, Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Or Chaim Chelek Esam in Yud Gimel about a person who's a partner in a business with someone who's not Shomer Torah Mitzvos, and they maintain a kitchen in the office. You know, many offices have like a little place where you make coffee, and they have, I'm the only one here probably doesn't work in an office, you guys know how it works, right? So there's a place where people can come and get snacks. But you're a partner in the business, so you have, you're paying for half of the food, and the other partner is not a Shomer Torah Mitzvos. So Rav Moshe thinks that you're not allowed to serve the food to him, but you're allowed to stock the kitchen. And you don't have to stop him from eating in the kitchen. He thinks that this is not lifnei iver. He says it may be a mitzvah of tocha, to be mochiach somebody else, not to eat without a bracha, but then you follow the gedarim of tocha, not the gedarim of lifnei iver. And if you think that the guy is not, if you know, not think, you know that the guy is not going to listen to you, and that it's going to be more damaging than helpful as far as his religious development, to say you may not eat without a bracha. So Rav Moshe thinks that, plus he says, there's concern for hafsid mamon, a bit lashutvus, the whole partnership may fall apart, the guy's not going to like you, it's going to, so if that's the case, he thinks that you could be making in that situation. Doesn't always work like that, though. The boss sometimes says, get me a coffee, not, you know, stock the kitchen so that I may get myself a coffee later. Get me a coffee. So Rav Moshe's really not an eitzah, is kula, is good and is probably accepted, I would imagine. But never, it's also not a directive neiver, meaning you're stocking the kitchen for whoever's going to eat from the kitchen. You're not giving the food specifically for him. It's for whoever's going to eat from the kitchen, including those who are mevarech. So Rav Moshe's eitzah is good, but it's limited in its applicability. It doesn't work in every circumstance. I saw in the Sefer Halichos Bas Yisrael, he gives a different eitzah that would definitely work if you're comfortable doing it. And he says, ask nicely. And don't worry that they're, ask nicely that they say a bracha. And don't worry that they're going to get mad at you, because whatever you say in a nice tone of voice, no one's going to get mad at you. You could argue, you could probably say some pretty nasty things in a nice tone of voice, and someone will get angry at you. In the Sefer Minhagei Harishon Letzion, Rav Yitzchak Yosef says that when political officials, when Knesset members would come to Rav Vadia Yosef, so Rav Vadia would, when you came to Rav Vadia Yosef, you come to his house, he was running the show. He's smacking people around. that was the way he. I don't mean that in like an abusive way. It was more like he would give like these loving smacks to people. And Rav Shechter said when he was in YU when Rav Avadia passed away, they asked Rav Shechter to say Divrei Hespit for Rav Avadia. So he started crying. He said, I felt such love when I went and he smacked me. I knew that was a sign of love when he smacked me in the face. That was but like he would do that to like prime ministers, heads of state, like he did. So Rav Avadia would say, he'd be mechabed them with some food, and he would say a bracha. So what are they going to do? Not going to. So they say a bracha by Rav Avadia Yosef. So to bring that as a raya, that that's always going to work for everybody. So Rav Asher Weiss said that the bizmanenu doesn't work. He said modern sensibilities are that live and let live. Don't impose your religious beliefs or principles on anybody else. Believe whatever you want. Do whatever you want in your own life. But don't impose that on anybody else. And it's really considered really completely against, totally untactful to, at best, that's a mild way of putting it, to impose your religious requirements on other people. So if you could do it, great. But it doesn't seem to be an eitzah that will always work. And then the Sefer Yalkut Yosef, Rav Yitzchak Yosef, the current chief Sephardic rabbi, says that you don't have to ask him to say a bracha. Just ask him to say amen to your blessing. And that should be, and make sure that your blessing is a shahakal. And that way it will cover everything. So you say a bracha of shahakal, have him say amen. He says he doesn't really have to know exactly that he's using that bracha to be yotzei. He just needs to know that you're blessing God for the food. He'll probably figure it's on all the food, right? That's being served at that meal. And that's good enough. And it's kain kavana latzeis. When he understands that you're saying a bracha on all the food, on the entire meal. So he says, but you should say a bracha of shahakal, because what if he eats, if you're going to say a bar priagafen and you're not serving him any wine, you're serving him something else. So obviously that's not good. So you say a bracha of shahakal. It reminded me of a story. Rav Shechter told us once that he had a shaila from an NCSY kid who was a young boy who was growing up in a house of people who are not Shomer Torah mitzvahs, parents are not Shomer Torah mitzvahs, and the kid was getting into observance and learning and kashrus, but he was a kid, he was 14 years old, he wasn't going to leave his parents' house, he was going to live with his parents, so he couldn't keep kosher, because his parents were not willing to make a kosher home, nor were they willing to accommodate, to make a separate dinner for him, so he couldn't keep kosher. He was eating nevels and trefels, knowing full well that he can't be doing it, but for his own well-being, he can't leave the house. So it wasn't a shaila. The advisor, the NCSY advisor, told Rav Shechter that he said, I don't know what to tell this kid. The kid told him on his own, he came up with an eitzah that he knows that you can't say a bracha on food that's not kosher. So he washes every meal so that he can say a hamotzi, And that way, he won't get involved in any brother of shechtzah. It was like crying that this is what this kid is faced with, that he's washing every meal to say amotzi, because knowing that he's going to be eating whatever non-kosher food is being served. So it's a sad case. But those eitzahs, you know, whether it's the eitzah of don't serve it to them directly, or the eitzah of ask them to say a bracha, or say a main to your bracha, they're not always applicable. They don't always work. So what are the different heterin that are out there as far as providing food for somebody who's not going to say a bracha? So I found, as far as heterin are concerned, five basic heterin. Four that I found in Sfarim, and then one that when Rav Asher Weiss was in America, not this past time when his wife passed away, but the time before that in January. So on his way to the airport, he stopped in Far Rockaway and he gave a shiur in someone's house. So I went to the fellow's house and listened to his shiur in that house, and he spoke about this topic and he gave his mahalich. Typically different than everybody else's mahalich, very, very creative. But let's see what the eitzos are. What the heterim are. Number one, we already mentioned this. Machlokas Rashi Rabbeinu Yonah. Are you allowed to give food to someone that you don't know if they're going to say a bracha? We point out Shulchan Aruch sounds like he's machmir, but the Mishnah Berurah sounds like he's mekil. There's what to discuss if there's an Isra of Lifnei Iver on the Safek in general, if you're not really sure. That heter l'chora is not that helpful, because it would have to be a case of suffix. If you know that this is a person who doesn't know any brachos, who doesn't know how to recite any brachos, l'chora it's not going to be so helpful. So a second potential heter, Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Maseches Brachos, she'in ro'i lases lechol el mishi yodeh bo she'yivarech. Right, he says you shouldn't give food to somebody unless you know that they're going to say a bracha. But then he says, v'nira, shekivan shemeskavein lasos mitzvah, kigon shenosin b'toras tzedakah, mutter. A person comes to your house, they have no food, they're desperate, they're hungry, they're poor, and you don't think they're going to say a bracha. Can you give them food? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, a regular person you can't give food to if he's not going to say a bracha. A poor person you can, because your ikur kavana is to do the mitzvah of tzedakah. Your kavana is not to provide food for someone who's not going to say a bracha. Beis Yosef disagrees with Rabbeinu Yonah and says that, there's a mitzvah to provide for the shamash at the suda also, right? And the case in the Gemara that the Gemara had where you're not allowed to do this was a shamash by the suda is a mitzvah to provide for him also. And nevertheless, with the Gemara said that it's asr to give to him if he didn't do netilas yadayim. So don't tell me that whenever it's a mitzvah, it's going to be mutter. The Bach says it depends. If you're giving, there's a difference between giving to someone who didn't wash netil sidayim, where when you're giving it to him, he's already violating the isser, versus someone who's going to eat later on. That when you give it to him, you are meaning dafka in this context of the mitzvah of tzedakah. Meaning, not that stam, you're allowed to give to someone who won't say a bracha. You're not. Rabbi Yonah is correct. You're not allowed to give to someone who won't say a bracha. But you can give to someone who won't say a bracha if right now you can label this act as a mitzvah of tzedakah. Meaning, if what I'm doing right now is devoid of any meaning, any positive religious benefit, then I have to look at the fact that ultimately he's not going to say a bracha, and therefore this is lifnei iver. But if I can label this act right now, not as lifnei iver, but as a mitzvah tzedakah, and there's no isser happening right now when I give this to him, then it would be mutter, because it's a mitzvah before it ever becomes an isser. It's like an avera habab mitzvah, it's unusual, right? It's a mitzvah before it ever becomes an isser. That's how the Bach says. And the Bach says, and it's not enough of a reason. The concern of what will be is not enough of a reason to be mevatel the mitzvah of tzedakah. That's how the Bach understands. The Ramah quotes Yesh Mekilin, if you give a b'toras tzedakah, like the Rabbeinu Yonah. Magen Avraham quotes two deos if that works, even when you know for sure he's not going to say a bracha. And Magen Avraham says, even though the bach is mekel, I think we need to be machmir about that issue. Taz is also machmir, if you know bevade that he's not going to make a bracha, because Taz says the svara to be mekel is that the mitzvah of tzedakah. Taz says a slightly different svara. He says, why would you be mekel? Because the mitzvah of tzedakah is a vadai, the bracha is a safek, ein safek motzi midei vadai, go with your vadai mitzvah instead, and don't worry about the safek of what. So it's not about the timing per se, it's more about the certainty versus the uncertainty. So it would seem that from the most major poskim, this heter is very limited in its applicability, because it has to be a mitzvah. Getting your boss a coffee is not a mitzvah, right? It has to be something that's a mitzvah. And B, it seems that a lot of the poskim are very hesitant to apply this when you know that he's not going to say a bracha, when you're vadai that he's not going to say a bracha. However, Rav Sternbach, who deals a lot with Balei Tshuva, I don't know if he still does. You know, he's not a young man anymore. He has the energy to fly into NASA Coliseum. But he deals a lot with Balei Tshuva. He when he was in South Africa, because in South Africa, if you were religious, you were a Balei Tshuva. Like it was, I don't know if there was ever been in the history of the world a larger community of Balei Tshuva than in South Africa. So Rav Sternbach actually writes in the Akdamah to Tshuvas VaHanhagos that you may be surprised by how many kulas I have, but you can't don't go around questioning it until you deal with Balei Tshuva. That you need to takanas hashavim. You need to sort of grease the wheels for Balei Tshuva. I wouldn't have known to be surprised by how many kulas he has if I didn't read the Hakdamah. I didn't think he's such a big mekel, but he thinks that you're going to be surprised by his kulas, I guess by current standards of whatever his position is. But nevertheless, Rav Sternbach often deals with these kinds of Balei Tshuva cases. So he expands the definition of mitzvah. And he says mitzvah means anytime you might have a positive hashpah on a person. Meaning if you are providing a person a Shabbos meal and they haven't experienced the Shabbos meal, or you're developing a relationship with the person and you are the firm person in their lives and they don't really know too many firm people, or maybe they don't know firm people that have left them with a positive impression, and now you're able to develop that kind of relationship, that's all mitzvah. So it doesn't have to be a formal mitzvah of tzedakah that you're giving to someone who's poor. Your boss may be way wealthier than you are, and he's not paying yeshiva tuitions, and he's not buying kosher food and everything else. But it's still a mitzvah because it is creating this kiruv relationship, and therefore he says there's no iser in giving him the food, because the yisod of the iser is lifnevi lositin michshol. It's only a michshol when you're doing ra, when you're doing something bad by giving this to him. But adrab, if you're being machzir, a person b'tshuva, you're doing tov, you're doing something that's fundamentally good. But he points out, you have chachmin of Barosho, you have to honestly assess, you know, whether there is any positive benefit to the person's religious well-being from the relationship. But he says, you know, we know of many, many Balei Tshuva that a major step in their decision to become religious was experiencing a su'uda at a religious home. So that is a very important factor as far as these things go. Okay, so that's one heter. That's a second heter. So again, the first heter is if you have any suffix whether he's going to say a bracha, so there is a sheet in Rishonim, that's good enough. Second heter is you're doing a mitzvah, and especially if you follow Rav Sternbach's expanded definition of doing a mitzvah, creating a relationship, kiruv, that's also called doing a mitzvah. Then there's third heter is chad avra denara. The Gemara says in Maseches Avodah Zarah that you're not allowed to give a kos shel yayin to a nazir, or evra min achai to a ben noach, and the Gemara says, how do I know that? Tamalomar lifnei iver lo sitin michshol. So says the Gemara though, hakamai askinan dekai betray avri de nahara. That's only if you're on two sides of a river. When the other guy has no access to the food, But for you, it's a, no access to the Isser. Let's say it's a Nazir, he has no access to the wine without you helping him get the wine, so then it's going to be a violation of Lifnei Iver. So, but if it's Chadav Redinara, if it's on the same side of a river, then it's only an Isser of being Mesayeya Yedei over Avera. That doesn't say in the Gemara. The Gemara says it's not Lifnei Iver. Bali Atosos point out, even though there's no Lifnei Iver, it's still a violation. If he has access to the food and you're just making it a little easier, you're just getting it for him, you're bending down to pick it up for him, but he could have gotten it himself, it's still an Isser D'Rabbanan Mesayeya De Over Avera. That's what all the Rishonim say, the Rush, the Ran, that it's Mestaver that you're not allowed to help someone do an Avera, even if he's capable of doing an Avera, because there's a Chiyuv to be Mafrish a person Me'isura. If you see someone do an Avera, you have to try to stop them. So Misvara, of course, you're not allowed to encourage it, to help them do an Avera. That obviously would be a violation on a D'Rabbanan level. The Achronim point out, though, that it seems to be a stira in Tosos. Because in the first paragraph of Shabbos, Tosos writes that there's Nisa D'Rabbanan when it's Chadav R'Dinara, when the guy could do it on his own. In the first paragraph of Avodah Zarah, Tosos writes that there's not even Nisa D'Rabbanan. So it seems to be a stira in Balei Tosos throughout Shas. Comes along the Shach, one of the most important marmakomos in dealing with any such shaila and many, many other shailas that come up as far as the Fnever is concerned, comes along the Shach in Yerdeus and Kufna and Aleph Sivkat and Vav, and he writes, Avalafi Anias Daiti Nira Delo Pligi. The Balei Atosos are not disagreeing with each other. He says, everyone agrees that there is an Isser Midrabanan of Chadav R'Dinara, but that's only when you're dealing with a person who is otherwise observant. But if you're dealing with a mumar, you're dealing with someone who has no interest in Torah mitzvos, who's not observant at all, then there is no Isser Drabanan of aiding in the Isser. There would still be the Isser D'Oraisa of the Fnevin, but Midrabanan of just helping him out, of just, you know, something he could have done his own, that there's no Isser. You'll tell me, I know the Chazon Ish holds that everyone who's not religious nowadays is a Tinuk Shenishba, no one's a Mumar anymore, and if there's no such thing as a Mumar, it's a very important sheet of the Chazon Ish, because a lot of the halachos of a Mumar are very, very harsh, and it would be very difficult to coexist in a respectful way with people that we would label halachically as a mumar. Someone sent me an article recently that there was a machlokas between Rav Steinman and Rav Kanievsky, whether a person is allowed to donate a kidney to someone who's not Shomer Torah mitzvos. What was the machlokas? Do they have a din of a mumar or not? Right? If you hold like the Chazon Ish, that he does not have a din of a mumar, so adrav, it's a mitzvah, you're doing a wonderful thing. But if you hold that he has a din of a mumar, moridin velo malin, you know, you throw him into the pit. Let alone you wouldn't throw him a rope to save him. You wouldn't try to save a person. So the idea of the Chazon Ish that no one is a mumar normally is a very, very important kula and a very important hashkafa to have. But over here, it would seem that it could be hurtful, right? Here we're trying to come up with a way that you can bring the boss a coffee, but if you say that he's just a Tinok Shanishba, then maybe you can't, right? Even if he's able to get his own. So I think that that's not necessarily the case. I think even if he's not a Mumar Lahalacha, but he's someone who's just not part of the system of Shomrei Torah Mitzvos. He never bought into the system of Torah Mitzvos. That's enough. It's enough to be Mekil on the Lifnei Iver D'Rabbanan Shailas. Why? Because the Dogma of Vav explains the Svara of the Shach. Why would it be that that someone who's not observant, that all of a sudden you have to worry about the fact that he's doing averos? So says the Dogma of Vav, this is on the bottom of page 5, I quote the Lashon Dogma of Vav, Havada ishe Yisrael Mumar, afal pi shechati Yisrael. Yisrael Mumar, he does averos, he's still a Jew. Vim Kane, ma beno l'shar Yisrael, v'ni lafrisho me'avera. Why would he be any different than anybody else as far as being mafrishim from Isser? Avo, nir l'aniyaz daiti kavanas ha-shach. He says, what the shach means is, da'af bi Yisrael, ein mitzuvan lafrisho, ki im kesha over b'shogeg. That even in Yisrael, you only have to stop him from an avera if he's doing the avera b'shogeg. V'yesh v'yad ish acher lafrisho chayiv lafrisho. See, someone's about to do an aver b'shogeg, and you have the ability to stop him, then you have to stop him. Ukimo b'katan ochel nevelos, shakatan shogegu. A katan's eating nevelos, you have to stop him from eating nevelos, because a katan, by definition, is a shogeg. Umishn deresh parakam de Shabbos b'shogeg mayri. But if Yisrael is purposely doing this, he doesn't, you know, it's not like a mistake, it's not an accident. Even though he's not a mumar, let's say you have a guy, he's shomer everything, shomer Torah mitzvahs, everything, he learns daf yomira, he just doesn't like brachos. Brachos not his thing. Just doesn't say brachos. So he's not a mumar, he just doesn't say brachos, he's lazy about brachos. He knows what he's doing, he knows exactly what he's doing. So in that case, he's not a shogeg, and that when a person is not a shogeg, then there's no mitzvah lafrisho. When the shach says mumar, he says, he uses that term because a mumar mistama is doing it b'mezid. So what would emerge from Dogon Ravava is anyone who, even knowing that there is a concept of brachos, would still do it, without a bracha. I mean, let's say he were to hear that Orthodox Jews say brachos before that, he's still not going to say a bracha, right? It's not going to change his mind. So that's called that he's doing it b'mezid. That's not called that he's doing it b'shogeg. And Mela, if you could knock it down to a Chad Avru Denara, it would be very helpful. So all the major posts can rely on this Dagol Mavava, Keseder. But Lechora, this only works if you can knock it, not Lechora, definitely, this only works if you can knock it down to a Chad Avru Denara, if you can knock it down to a situation where he has the ability to do the Yisr without you. What if he doesn't have the ability to do the Yisr without you? And even just how you define the ability to do the Yisr without you, you know, he'll always be able to eat, but what if he won't be able to eat this food? What if he would have to pay for it otherwise, but over here it's free? So it would seem that that's called Trey Avri Dinara, not Chad Avri Dinara. That's our first very useful heter. A fourth potential heter, and probably even more useful, is the heter of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Now, when Rav Asher Weiss gave this shiur that I attended, he quoted Rav Shlomo Zalman's shita, and he completely disagreed with Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav Shlomo Zalman is a very important shita in this conversation. Rav Shlomo Zalman in a tshuva, published tshuva written by his own hand. Much of the stuff we have from Rav Shlomo Zalman is from Talmidim. Much of it is very good. And very reliable. Certainly Halicha Shlomo is known to be a very reliable source that his Mishpacha looked over and they were very happy with. There are other Svarim that the Mishpacha explicitly was not particularly happy with as representatives of, as being an accurate representation of what Shlomo Zalman, really thought. There's one sefer that was printed of Shlomo Zalman's different Piskei Halacha that Shlomo Zalman gave where one of the children, I think it was Rav Shmuel, wrote a haskama, and the haskama said, you really shouldn't publish the sefer. This was not when my father was thinking. You were just walking with him and peppering him with questions, and he wasn't, these were off-the-record conversations. This is not like, these do not represent his, so you really shouldn't publish the sefer. So they took that letter and they put it in the front of the book. So it's like, oh, it's got a haskama from Shmuel. As long as no one reads the haskama, then it's perfectly good. I think he writes in the bottom, objection noted, and that's why I've included it, and he continues. But in Milcha Shlomo, which is his own tshuva, it's written by his own hand, Shlomo Zalman writes, Choshavni b'misha ba'i lav oreach chashuv. What happens? You have a chashuva guest comes, Asherinenu shomer Torah mitzvos, and your guest is not a shomer Torah mitzvos. Aval adayin yesh lo ahava lebnei Torah, v'gam tomech b'mostos Torah chedoma. But he has a positive relationship with the from community. And if you don't act benimus, if you don't act with derech eretz to him, and you don't offer him something to eat, it says in Shulchan Aruch, but it's going to be very bad. Or even if you ask him to be to wash his hands, say a bracha, yira hadavar kipigia ve'elbon bekvodo. He'll view that as if you're looking down on him, and it will get him angry. So he said, and it could be that you're going to take him further away, chas v'shalom, from Torah and mitzvos, and it will cause hatred for Torah in general. Give him food and drink. And don't worry about Liv Never. Shulchan Aruch says yes, worry. So all due respect, Rishon Zalman, Shulchan Aruch says yes, worry. No, Mishum Da'av She'inom La'adam La'asos Yisur Azuta K'day La'atel L'cheir Me'yisur Rabba. Even though we don't tell you to violate a smaller Isur to save someone from a greater Isur. V'asur V'adei La'avr Shum Asmais B'Shabbos K'day La'atel B'kach Cheir Me'yisur Chamash Al Tevel. You see someone's about to eat Tevel, doesn't mean you're allowed to be Ma'afr Shum Asmais on Shabbos, even though that's a lesser Isur. Mikol Makom B'nidon Zeh. But what is the Isra over here? The Isra that you're doing is you're being machshil him. You're doing a maisa hachshala. And if you don't give him food, you will have been machshil him in a greater Isra of sinas Yisrael, sinas HaTorah, sinas Hadas. You're going to cause a greater michshal. So it turns out that what you're doing is not a maisa hachshala at all, but a maisa hatzala. You're saving him from the worst iser. So Rav Shlomo Zalman happened to have been talking about a case of someone who already has a love for Torah and mostos of Torah and is a supporter of Torah, but we find other poskim that don't give that condition and are perfectly happy saying, just if he's not a great lover of Torah right now, it's going to be much, much worse if you don't treat him with derech eretz. And that's the hetar of Shlomo Zalman, that you're that there's no maisa hachshala, it's a maisa hatzala. Rav Asher Weiss did not agree at all. He does not think you call that a maisa hatzala. Why? Because he says, maisa hatzala, there's no iser in front of him that you're saving him from. You're speculating what iser he might do one day because of this interaction. Maisa hatzala is nisul lefanav, and you stop the iser from happening. A maisa hatzala is not when, because of this interaction, he might act in one way or another way. He says, the Rav Shlomo Zalman compares, you see a guy eating chela v'dam that are nisr kares, so you switch it out for nevela. Right? So Rav Shlomo Zalman said, what did you just do? Maisa hachshala or maisa hatzala? Nevela is only a losa, say. Chela v'dam is kares. Right? So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, maisa hatzala. Says Rav Asher Weiss, yeah, that's a maisa hatzala, because right now he's eating chela v'dam. It's right in front of him. The yisr is right there. So you're switching it out. But this is not a maisa hatzala. And therefore, Rav Asher Weiss said an entirely different yesod, which, okay, in 3 minutes we'll see if we could summarize. He said, he thinks there's a yesod in halacha, that sometimes you're allowed to violate an isur gomor. It's not a maisa hatzala. It's lifnei iver. It's an isur gomor. Biyadayim. If begadol, it's saving in that general inyan. Not that you are doing a maisa hatzala. You're doing a maisa hachshala. Absolute avera. But you're bringing into the world a greater measure of good than bad. He has 11 examples in Shas and Poskim where we find these things. It sounds, like a lot of his yesodos, till you see the examples, it sounds like, what? Where in the world is this coming from? So he has a number of examples. Let's see. For example, Alach in Yerodea, someone is holich makom lemakom sefer Torah imo, carrying a sefer Torah, lo yanichenu besak, yanichenu al gabei chamar v'yerkav alav, el menicho b'chiko k'neg libo v'urochiv al chamarov. You're carrying a sefer Torah, don't sit on it. Don't put it in the saddlebag and then sit on your saddlebag. But if you're mefachim mepnei aganav, mutar. Why? It's not a problem sitting on a sefer Torah when you're mefachim mepnei aganav. No, of course it's a problem sitting on a sefer Torah, sitting on the same bench as the sefer Torah, the same level of the sefer Torah. But if you're, why? What's the problem? You're being mevazeh of the sefer Torah. But you're thereby saving it from a bizayon gadol yoser, from a bigger bizayon of being nignav, and who knows how the ganavim are going to treat the sefer Torah. So that's one of the examples that he brings. He brings again 11 examples. We don't have time to get into them now, but that's his his nusach in the hetzer, because he doesn't like Rav Shlomo Zalman's nusach of the Maisa Hatzalah versus the Maisa Hakshalah. Okay, we'll stop here.